Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this man here is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Yes, as you can tell by my voice, I am a man, and a powerful man. And I have come to do this podcast to talk about films.
But if you cross me, by my word,
I will track you down. First of all, be the small things you notice, that your milk tastes sour. It's got piss in. Then your toothpaste tastes wrong. It's got piss in. Then your hair is frizzy in the morning. It's got piss in. Then your pillow is the wrong shape. It's got piss in.
What do you drink to give your bladder such large capacity?
Well, I have to start drinking a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, it must take a lot of work.
Apologies to new listeners. What's happened is we're almost on episode 200. And in an effort to make these introductions more interesting, I feel like I've gone a bit stir crazy.
That's quite all right.
It's the coffee and the heat.
It's coffee and heat, as they say, that old saying, coffee and heat. Buddy the dog is asleep next to Marek there.
He's asleep on my shirt.
Oh, that's nice.
Wearing a t-shirt, I'm not topless.
Sure.
But I have got no pants and trousers on.
Hooray!
Guess what?
What?
I didn't go to cinema this week.
Neither did I.
I watched a couple of weeks ago. You may remember we played the IMDb game, which you can play at home.
Let me re-explain the rules for people who don't understand what the IMDb game is.
IMDb is the Internet Movie Database, one of the great fit, along with Rotten Tomatoes, one of the great film websites.
I remember when it was a sort of niche find that only real movie fans knew about IMDb, sort of in the early 90s or the late 90s, whenever it was. And now it's ubiquitous, isn't it? It's everywhere.
People use it as their like casting things, don't they?
Absolutely, they do. You get everything on there.
How does the game work, please?
So, on IMDb, they have a thing called the Top 250.
Which, how do you find that?
You can just go to IMDb and go to Top 250.
It's down the bottom, right at the bottom of the thing, yeah.
And it's there because you can rate films. If you sign into IMDb, you can rate films out of 10. And they have their top 250 films of all time on their entire database. And we've played a game where, starting at number one, you count down the top 250 until you get to a film you have not seen. And that is your score on seeing the most popularist films. And I think I'm still on number six, a score of six, because I've not seen 12 Angry Men. And what were you on?
I can't remember.
Quite well.
It was a lot of the Chaplin ones. I've seen Modern Times, but I hadn't seen City Life.
City Lights.
Yeah. And another Chaplin one as well. But further down the list,
yes.
I decided to... We had things like M and Paths of Glory I hadn't seen. So I decided to watch M. Now, M is... I found this on YouTube. I'm not sure. It was made in 1931.
Right.
So I think, and please let me know, or please do not take me to court if this is wrong, I think it's free from, is it the 75-year copyright rule? I'm not sure how
I don't
works.
Know the rules on that.
Or it's 75 years after someone, the last person involved has died. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll put the link on the Facebook. It won't be me. Someone accidentally put it on Facebook.
If someone corrects you, we can take it down, can't we?
We're wrong. Right. But you can watch the whole thing in... a remastered thing, which is that if you select on YouTube, if you select the whirling circle, you can one of the sort of the not the circle, the sort of cog thing.
Oh yeah,
you can adjust the quality of the footage. So normally it's preset to like 360p,
yeah,
which is half of standard definition,
or even 240.
Yeah, standard definition TV is 720, yeah, which is good. HD is 1080.
Mm.
This film you can watch 720. So I watched this film. So this is made in 1931.
What's it about?
It is about a place in Germany, and there has been a spate of child killings.
Uh-oh.
And the murderer is on the loose, and it's led to the police really cracking down on everyone, the whole of society, to the extent that the criminal fraternity can no longer conduct their business properly. So they decide, as well as the police in their own separate world, to try and crack down the murderer.
I like that.
Using their criminal contacts and the underground network.
Okay.
This is I really heartily recommend watching this film. I had an idea. You know, you have preconceptions about Germany. In my head, I had this sort of 1930s Germany as this. In this sort of weird depression era, I always associate 1930s, everyone's poor and quite backward because of the war. It was really before Hitler. When did Hitler come in, like 33, 34?
Yeah, it's fairly close to the beginning of the war, really. I think.
But what's amazing is just how my ideas of Germany through the war footage. You watch this on film, it's been restored.
Yeah.
It's in standard definition, so 720. The black and white shots are so beautiful. There's so many iconic shots. It looks clear. The acting is a bit sort of hammy at times, but it feels really modern. The whole thing feels as if it made me re-evaluate my idea of the 1930s.
Mm. That's interesting.
The murderer, this boy, it's not really spoilers, so you see me on, is Peter Lorre, who's a famous...
Peter Lorre.
Yeah, he went over, but he's in... He fled Germany after this because he was worried about a prosecution for the Nazis. The Nazis banned this film when they came into power in 1933, I think it is. Yeah, when it was banned and didn't get seen for years and years after. And for its video release was... people didn't see it till 1966. It was made by Fritz Lang. These are all sort of bits. It was filmed in only 6 weeks. What's weird about it, some bits of it go silent. And I thought, this is weird. Is it just the quality of the thing? But apparently they only filmed 2/3 of it with sound.
Wow. But intentionally? Or they just haven't got round to foleying it?
That's what happened. But I said here on the licence fees for sound equipment were quite prohibitive, so as to keep costs down, and that the director liked the eerie sound of it. It's just... got some of the creep. I mean, you would never think there'd be a film about a child murderer in the 1930s. It's so dark. It feels like a modern sort of
Hannibal type film. Yeah, or a TV drama like Red Riding or something.
Yeah, and the murderer is in some ways the sort of hero of the piece. So it contradicts all that theory that I had that, you know, that Hannibal was one of the first psychopaths that changed the way people think about the bad guy. This is Peter Lorre doing it back in 1931.
Yeah.
And there's famous speeches in it. I mean, it hasn't got the cuts and the quickness of modern films, but it's 85 years old. It's amazing when you watch this and you think, well, a lot of the actors in this, I mean, loads of them must have died when the Nazi Party got in, you know. Yeah. Loads of them must have been killed in the war. No one in this film is probably alive now, even the kids in it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There might be a few of the kids alive. It's got some of the spookiest things in it, and the shots artistically, the way they're framed and the movement, it reminds me a bit of what's his name? My memory's so bad.
Who
did? But he did Paths of Glory and everything. You know, the one that does. It reminds me of a lot of modern directors, really obvious ones. But I would heartily recommend watching this film as a way it would change your perception of black and white films and how it seems that maybe ideas are dated rather than films are dated.
Interesting.
It's free on YouTube. You can watch it, I think. So if you've got an hour and 50 minutes and you fancy watching... a bit of film history, watch this. And the makeup of the shots is quite brilliant at some points.
You were thinking of Stanley Kubrick, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
In Passing Glory. It's interesting. Last week I talked about Jodorowsky's Dune, and they talked in that about how this guy had a genuine vision that scared Hollywood because they didn't know what it was. It was a French film with just incredible scope of imagination, and that isn't what Hollywood does. Hollywood does, and, you know, it's a cliche from the pitching, but it is genuinely true. They go, what two films is it like? And that is, and if it isn't like two films and you can't describe it in that way, it won't get made. And so that's why they you know, it's a sort of creative stagnation, or it's a rare occurrence when something wonderful and new actually does come out of that country.
Mm.
For that very reason, you know.
I mean, there are great moments. I mean, the shot we've always seen of, you know, of looking down a set of staircases.
Yes.
You know, inside a building, when you look down
Ghostbusters.
A set of spiral staircases.
Yeah, yeah.
That is in this film, and I'll be really intrigued as to whether this was one of the first instances of this, using this powerful shot of the mothers waiting for her daughter to come back home from school. And it is a mate, and I'm sure it's the first. It's a load. This is spoilers here, but it's 85 years old. It's shots of like the empty staircase, close ups to the empty staircase, just still shots.
Yeah,
shots of like the swings still. Shots of the ball she was playing with rolling down.
Yeah.
There's one brilliant moment, which has got to be one of the famous film shots of the girl who's, you know, about to get done over, is reading a billboard saying reward offered for the child murderer, and you see a shadow of her. You know it's her because the shadow appears on the billboard, and you know she's reading it. And then Peter Lorre's shadow appears next to her, looking down at her.
Wonderful.
Great. It's got some... It's just, you know, it's too long, and it loses its pace and is slow in some points. But this is a different age of filmmaking, and it feels really modern. So I encourage any film lovers to at least get number 71, I think it is, or number 75 in the IMDb top 250, and watch. I give it 8 merits, so I think it's not... maybe I'm being harsh with 8, but I think it was really, I really thought it was fascinating to watch in terms of a slice of a different life and history and filmmaking.
That sounds very interesting. I mean, because it is such a different era as well, isn't it? You know, pre-war is quite literally a different time.
The war footage we see is so dated, and so the film is. Because the film's sort of not, isn't it not decomposed? Is that
aged.
Yeah. We think it's old because the format has aged. Whereas when you see it, like when you see old footage of London when they made it into colour, it suddenly looks really odd. Because
of course, it wouldn't have looked like that when they watched it in that era. Of course, it would have looked, crystal clear. You weren't here when Dan Tetzel brought in Baron Munchausen, the actual original one that was made in Germany with Nazi Party funding during the war. They actually made it during the war. And it's absolutely fascinating how weirdly liberal the philosophy of the movie is. And yet, Joseph... I think Goebbels is listed as an executive producer.
Wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Crazy. That sounds great. M, track it down.
I'll put it on the Facebook page.
Great. Great. Now, do we have any letters?
Yes. Letters. If you want to write in, it's easy to do. Just get your computer and follow this. Do. Yeah. What do you think of that? What do you think of that for a rhyme?
It nearly worked, didn't it? I didn't really understand what was happening.
Tap on your keys and write us a letter. The more concise and the shorter, the better.
That's good. That's a good one. You can email dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, and then we can read your email out on the podcast, as we're about to do here. Who has contacted us?
Ben Perrins.
Why do you say it like that?
He has... said no real accent, so South African will suffice.
South Africa.
You can read it if you like. You can do it.
All right, I'll do it.
He it is for you to read.
Thank you. This is from Ben Perrins. Dear American David, I've been listening for a few months and have worked my way through the back catalogue. The podcast is great and has introduced me to loads of great films, so thanks. I saw The Look of Silence, released in 2014 by Joshua Oppenheimer, the other day. I suppose it's the sister film to The Act of Killing. It's incredible. This film is from the perspective of a family who were victims of the genocide. The main subject is Adi, along with his parents, whose brother Ramli died 2 years before he was born. Adi meets the people who commissioned and executed the killings. It's so incredible and astounding that you have to watch it to understand, much like The Act of Killing, really. So please watch it. I'm a recent university graduate with what feels like a degree in being unemployable, so I can't donate yet, but I will one day. Thank you, Ben. I know this is long, so there's no need to read it out. Just in case, though, I'm from the Midlands, a village... No, it's all right, I don't need to read that. From Ben Perrins, 22 and a half years old.
I hope you get a job soon, Ben.
Yes.
Not for your own sake, but so you can give us some money.
You can give us some money and stop being such a drain upon society.
No one likes students anyway. They stink of shit.
That's right. They do from where I'm from, in the Transvaal.
All they do is moan about who's taking their milk and other boring things. And they say like the whole time and their voices go up at the end.
Yes, that's right. Unlike ours.
Yes, mine goes down.
And mine... Stay straight.
I've got another email here.
Okay, who's it from this time?
It is from friend of the show.
I am Chappie.
Science Fiction Sunday.
Science Fiction Sunday.
I began to carry on reading it out. It was changed into Birmingham accent.
That's all right.
Can you go from South African into Birmingham?
South Africa to Birmingham. Right there.
It is very easy. A lot of the South African people who were go to Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Did you... So happy, it's about Mr. Holmes, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's from Science Fiction Sunday, who run a website. So happy, Merrick reviewed this, Mr. Holmes talking about now.
It's Mr. Holmes.
I've known the Nicholas Rogue secret for weeks, and I've been trying to think of a way to tell you. There was a nice surprise in store. Without spoiling the fact, there was a nice surprise in store. Oh, just about that. Basically, Mr. Holmes...
I know. I actually noticed from the trailer. Nicholas Rogue, who plays young Sherlock Holmes.
He's one of my favourite films.
And you brought it in a Phil Fandango, didn't you, when you were just a guest?
He's brought it in.
That's right.
And he plays Mr. Holmes.
He plays Sherlock Holmes in the cinema, doesn't he?
In the film with Mr. Holmes.
The dog's buggered off because he's finding this annoying.
He wouldn't like to live in Birmingham, would he?
He's bloody 80s.
Well, there we go. We've lost all of our three Birmingham listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Birmingham. Sorry.
I'll tell you what I'd like to talk about now.
What do you want to talk about?
Catching up on films that we have seen that we want. I'm just trying to do jingles.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm enjoying it. Catching up on films that we have seen.
The main up begin cinema.
Catching up on films that we have seen on streaming services.
Meanwhile, from last week's episode, you may want to know how our own streaming services we're thinking of setting up. David's is called Flickoff.
And Merrick's is called Turdwire.
Have you got any more films on Flickoff?
Oh, we've had a fantastic week on
What's
Flickoff.
Your latest,
I mean, the recently added draw of Flickoff
what are they?
Is well. We've got Bonza.
What happens in that one?
Bonza is about an Australian detective with one leg.
Yeah.
And he mostly... walks around one city block solving crimes. It's low key. It's 8 hours long and has no sound, but it's quite good. It's quite good.
Okay.
And then Sharkpedo 2.
Okay.
As well.
All right.
What have you got on Third Wire?
We've got a film called Stiff Richard.
Stiff Richard. What's that about?
It is about... I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious what it's about.
No, it's not. What's it about?
It is about a Cliff Richard lookalike...
Yeah.
...who has got permanent boner and how he has to learn to deal with it.
A documentary?
It's half documentary, half animation.
Okay. But when they had the lens cap on, yeah?
It hot... they didn't film it properly, so they didn't. The bottom half of the lens was damaged, so they've had to animate the bottom half of the lens.
Just the bottom half,
which
okay.
is all done as if it's underwater.
That's nice. That's a nice touch.
So if you want to watch Stiff Richards, subscribe to Turdwire.
Yeah, if you want to watch Bonza, then turn on to Flick Off.
But I've seen some films we talked about that I've now I went to see, which has been at the cinema for quite a long time, Mad Max Fury Road, that you talked about before, and you said it'd be interesting to me watching it.
Yes, what did you think?
I thought, and as reg listeners will know, I hate action films.
You sort of do, yeah.
But this is the best you can get of the action film.
It's great because they did everything properly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What I've been the thing I wanted to talk to you about when we talked about it before, and I couldn't because you hadn't seen it, was that did the how crisp and glossy everything was in this film bother you? Because I thought so much of this. I know I've read about it. They've done it. They've done it for real. That guy is jumping from a car to a truck.
Oh, really?
It's all. They've done it all. If you look at the behind the scenes footage, it's actually more exciting because it looks like you can tell they've actually done it. That thing with the guys on the poles.
They actually did it. That is like these pole vaulting things.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
Like metronomes going back and forth. They did it all, and they spent 6 months on the grade to make it look as glossy and as possible.
Oh, really?
And I think it would be a better film without it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if it just looked slightly dull around the edges, like it was a real thing they'd just filmed, it would be even more exciting.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's to make a film about essentially just driving in one direction.
Yeah. Well, it's like The General, the Buster Keaton film we watched, isn't it? It's one chase, basically.
I thought I'm just not into action films. I don't get a kick out of them. But I did think it was really good. It was a lot of thought gone into it. I like the fact he'd used old cast members from the original.
Toecatter's in it as what's he called? Immortan Joe or whatever.
It felt really inventive, and it did capture this weird... It still feels cult, even though it's big budget.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going to make another one. The stuff I can do without, and the stuff I thought was not Mad Max, and I sort of a bit sick of it in films, is the Lord of the Ringsing stuff at the beginning and end, where you have an enormous CGI place, city, basically, that has no practical use whatsoever. It exists purely because they wanted it to exist. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one would actually live here. There's a huge crowd of people beneath this thing waiting for water. And it's just like, where do they go when they're not in this scene in this film? It doesn't feel real, whereas the old Mad Max films really did. It felt like these people have survived an apocalypse and have cobbled together a living based upon the stuff they can find.
Yeah.
You know? And those big CGI spectacle things bore me. They really bore me. The rest of it, I absolutely loved.
I think it missed the big thing is the charisma of Mel Gibson. I know it's not fashionable to like Mel Gibson, but I think because of the stuff he said, I think he's brilliant.
There wasn't... Tom Hardy has a real madness he can channel.
Yeah,
if you've seen Bronson, he really
but
can.
He doesn't
bring it in this film. He's just sort of a cowboy.
He's got a bit of vulnerability. There's a film when he played, I can't remember what it's called, he played a special needs person.
Beaver?
No, it's right at the start of his career, an Australian film. Like a burglar or something, I can't remember what it's called. Which he was brilliant in. I think he's always been, you know, even directing stuff. Apocalypto, I absolutely love Apocalypto.
I've still not seen Apocalypto.
Apocalypto is brilliant. Brilliant, underrated film. But this is, I think it misses that sort of extra charisma of a character, and it doesn't really feel that this has any characters in it to start with.
The lead character is actually Furiosa, isn't it? Charlize
Theron. She's not.
She's just strong. She's just strong. She doesn't really have a personality you get to know.
There was a little bit of good dialogue, but
it's
just too much action.
But Max was never about the dialogue, actually. And
I think Mel Gibson brought that. He brought that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's.
I have to say, the choreographer, the director George Miller, and the editor specifically need such praise for this film, because it is so fast and action-packed, but you never lose track of the geography of what's happening, and you never go, oh, I didn't quite see that shot, it went by too fast, I didn't know what was going on. It is beautifully shot action sequences on a large scale. It's absolutely beautiful.
It feels exciting. It's brilliantly done. It's the best you could do with an action film. So if you love this genre, you will shit yourselves.
But in contrast, to carry on talking about films on streaming services, I watched, just as a bit of a laugh, Taken 3 the other day, because I've seen the first two. This is the franchise of Liam Neeson films where he plays a man with a particular set of skills who will go and kill Russians for you if you threaten
his
family.
Why are you watching Taken 3 and not things from your IMDb list?
Because they're not always available on streaming services I'm already subscribing to. But Taken 3 is bollocks. It is one of those films where this clearly made sense to you on paper. As in, if you drew the storyboard out, you would go, yeah, that's a really exciting sequence. But then when you shoot it, it all goes by so bloody fast. There's so many shots, and they don't need them. It just means you can barely see anything that's happening in these fight sequences.
Sounds like my life.
And it's just too fast, Mary. It's too exciting and fast.
Oh, that doesn't...
No. It's... You know, it is not strong at all, sadly.
Are you going to get it on Flickr?
It'll probably be free on Flickr. We may as well subscribe to as many of these things. Someone wants to see it, you know, but I don't know. I want to get something a bit more... I need to attract more people to Flickr.
We've got one returned.
What's that?
It's a guy who brings his library books back.
Yeah.
There's an amnesty... And a load of guys are allowed to bring their library books back.
Yeah. That's the whole story.
Well, the library gets too full of books.
Yeah.
And the people get trapped in there, and they
because they leave them by the door.
There's so many books, and they don't know, and they've only got a certain amount of air, so they're stuck in their brimming thing. Where should we go? If we go for Enid Blyton, or should we try and go through The Ascent of Man?
It's interesting. It sounds good.
It is quite good.
Yeah.
It's 17 hours long.
the Peter Jackson edit.
Yeah.
But Taken 3 I would not recommend. I caught up with a film we've talked about before that I've wanted to see for ages. It is the one you've all, listeners, been telling us to see, and Marek did see it, and we talked about it. It Follows. It's brilliant.
What do you think?
It's brilliant. I mean, lots of people have copied framing everything in the centre, your infinity point in your perspective is sort of dead centre thing that Kubrick did a lot, but as we talked about, so have other people done it a lot in the past. But this makes such clever use of it, of you're just expecting something. It's beautifully done.
Just when you thought genre was dead.
Yeah, I mean, there are shocks in that film that I have not seen in any other film.
The idea is so simple.
Yes.
Someone constantly walking slowly towards you.
But also the fact that you don't know what form they're going to be in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can see that we don't know if the person who's walking towards us is the thing or just the person. But also, it's just that added just, you don't feel safe. Because when a camera lingers on a doorway in any other film, you're like, is the monster going to appear? With this one, you don't know who's going to appear, which I don't know why, but that just makes it extra scary.
But I think the group of the actors, they aren't archetype. They feel like a proper group of quirky friends.
Yes.
They're brilliant, that young cast.
Yeah, yeah. It's an excellent film, and thank you everyone for recommending it. We got around to seeing it eventually, and it is now on streaming services. I think I watched it on Blinkbox. But it's bloody good. I think it's a modern classic. I mean, I've not seen one like that I think everyone should go and see since Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, I think it is one that I didn't want to like it. It's really, really good. Is that it?
Have you seen anything else?
No, I'm going to go to see. I should have seen it by now, but I haven't. Terminator Genisys.
Why do you want to go and see Terminator Genisys?
Because One of my favourite ever experiences was when Terminator 2 came out. I must have been, when was it, 92? I'm trying to remember. Going to Lake Cinema on the Isle of Wight in the summer with my friend John Bradley, getting some popcorn. And it was one other person in the cinema, maybe not. And we sat there right in the middle and we watched Terminator 2. And it was absolutely brilliant. The car...
it's an incredible film. Incredible two film set, actually, the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
Phenomenal from James Cameron, absolutely brilliant.
91, Judgment Day, so it must have been just, I was 15.
I'd be interested to see if it's any good. I've not heard good things. I have heard it's sort of the spiritual third movie, because the third one was so mediocre and lacking in imagination. Then the reboot attempt with Salvation was just... trousers.
I gave up watching it.
Christian Bale, you can see in his face he knows it's shit. And it's got Sam Worthington as the other one, who is just sort of dull.
Terminator 2 is 41 on the top 250 films of all time.
Wow.
Just below Whiplash, which is, I do like. I love Whiplash.
I'm not going to see Genesis. I don't think it's going to be good, but I'd love to be told otherwise.
I just found that my IMDb score is 35.
That is bloody high.
City Lights, number 35.
Yeah, I need to watch 12 Angry Men and mine will go up considerably higher.
Well, that's it.
That's it. If you have any recommendations from other film services, anything you happen to watch, Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, whatever it is, then let us know and we can pass on your recommendations to people. It is the most fun in this podcast is when we find obscure films that the advertisers aren't telling us all about and we can pass them on and share them with people. So please do that. You can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. You can talk to one another on Facebook, /filmfandango. You can tweet us @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed and @MarekLarwood. And we do all of this for free. So if you would like to help us continue doing the podcast, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And thank you to everyone who's donated so far. You are great people.
Hey, what? Remember everyone, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.